Welcome to Wheel, the premier Formula One podcast by two bi-coastal besties who know medium to nothing about Formula One.
The Orange Army came out in droves for the Austrian Grand Prix, but unfortunately for Max fans, the Tifosi won out in what would have been a Ferrari 1-2. I'm Zaylee.
And I'm Maya.
Lights out and away we go!
What's up, Zaylee?
Nothing much.
Yeah.
Maya, you have good news though. Right?
I have some interesting news.
Is it good news?
Yeah, it's bittersweet news. Uh-huh. And the bittersweet news is I'm pivoting. I feel like, should I even say this? I feel like I need an offer first. I need to see something in writing. But I am planning to, or have been in talks to pivot to assist a different team at my job.
Yeah.
That's the team.
Yeah, now I feel limited in what I could say about it, how big you're being. I'm like, but it's a huge deal, folks. It's a huge deal. A lot of work drama happening recently, I feel.
So much work drama. I feel like the older I get and the more into career, quote unquote, I get, it's like, I understand why people make shows about this stuff. Like, there's a lot
happening. No, I know. I was about to say, though, I feel like there should be even more about it. Like, the only movie I can think of that's centered around work and work relationships is The Devil Wears Prada right now. But
it's
I'm
a good
like
one.
It's a great one, but is there anything, like, I'm thinking of The Office, and that's another one, but there's not a lot of like things that are centered around the workplace, but it is such a huge part of our lives.
There is, I mean, there's like a Succession type, but I don't think that's something that like everybody can relate to, you know what I mean?
Yeah. And there were a lot of, speaking of stories, there were a lot of stories that came out of F1 this week, right?
Of course. Yes. It's always a great time for F1 storytelling. And I have some news for you.
Please.
Okay. So in a never-ending saga from last frickin' season, Max Verstappen kind of threw a little barb at Lewis Hamilton this weekend. Did you hear about this?
No.
I'm so over it. So basically, Hamilton originally was referring to Silverstone's race, and he was like, you know, racing with Charles Leclerc, it's really different from racing with Max. I think he has a different, like, he's more respectful. He didn't say anything too out of pocket. It was very, he said sensible. That's the word. It's sensible. Mm-hmm. And then Max said, Max said in response to this, I think it's quite nice that at 37 years of age, you can still learn how to hit an apex. He is learning, so that is positive. It is also good for younger drivers to know that you are still learning when you're 37 years old. Oh, your face. Yeah, I wasn't even looking at you. That was what he said in response to Lewis's very mild comment.
Oh, my God.
And this was at, so he said this in response to Dutch media at a press conference, and they asked him what he thought about Lewis's comment and whether Leclerc was actually a more sensible driver. And something about like the nationality of it, like the fact that it's the Dutch press conference, does feel like he feels more licensed to say something
crazy,
ruder. Yeah.
But I'm shocked that he's not. I feel like Max oscillates between like wanting to manage his relationship and rivalry with Lewis and being like, you know, there's no beef between us and we're okay and we're really respectful. And then he also like does this really crazy switch. I mean, the both of them do that, like makes it clear that they're not over 2021
at all. I wouldn't be either, to be quite honest, because that man was so close to breaking a world record and it was snatched away from him.
Yeah. The trauma of 2021 is what
And
he
I watched
calls
that
it.
Interview, by the yeah, way. I watched it last
too.
Night.
Okay. It was good.
I thought it was good. Yeah.
Wild.
We're just going to be reading about this for years to come.
I know. It's an iconic rivalry.
Another piece of news that I thought was so funny, but also interesting and maybe a little sad, is that did you hear that Yuki Tsunoda is working with a psychologist on his temper, and Helmut Marko called him a problem child. He's like, we've got him set up with a psychologist to sort of help, because if you heard the team radio, like, he goes absolutely crazy and da 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 da. But I think the fact that he called him a problem child is pretty rude.
I don't mind the problem child. I feel
really?
Like that's mild.
Okay.
He's cool. I like problem child. I mean, would you be insulted if your mom called you a problem child?
I know that I'm the problem child. But yeah, I think it is. I think it's a little rude. Yeah. Or at least I would take that personally. So maybe that's just my own projection. You know what I mean? I don't know. I'm a middle child. So the problem child is just the cherry on top. I can't do more than that.
Yeah. As I asked the question, I was like, oh, yeah, Maya probably would be insulted.
I would be insulted. I was, like, I was a little insulted. I was a little
insulted. Do you think he really has anger management issues?
I don't
because
know.
Because I think he doesn't. But I could be wrong. Like, if that is truly his anger issues, because I thought he was just like, a lot of these drivers kind of feel like they're taking on a persona in the car and like on the race radio.
I don't think he's doing that.
So you think he's, yeah. So
I think he's just a little unhinged. Then. Yeah, I think, but anger issues, I don't know. Anger issues.
He doesn't ever seem angry outside of the context of yelling at his race engineer.
Which is, it reminds me of like, I only have really one male cousin that I'm thinking of, but like the way that male cousins get when they play games and they like just start acting so different and you're like, bro, are you okay, bro? Like, yeah. So only the men. But you see, you like outside of that, they're like chilling, but then in the context of the game it's over. So I feel like there is something that can be trained out of him.
Mm-hmm.
But it just reminds me of how they sent him to pack up and go to Italy or wherever the hell he went. Like, they're really like treating him like a stepchild.
This should be fun, though. This isn't like moving somebody to a remote town in Italy. It's like, go to some person once a week. He'll probably work some other things out.
I hope he finds it fun. Yeah. I mean, there's a lot. Look, Yuki, if you ever listen to this, be very open to psychology and to therapy because it's for the best.
For the best, for sure.
Okay. So Sebastian Vettel was handed a $25,000. How do you say that? British fans going to eat me up. He was handed a £25,000 penalty or fine because he stormed out of a driver's meeting and acted unsportsmanlike.
But what were they discussing?
They didn't say. Like, he. Oh my God. They literally didn't say.
I know this season has to be so, like, contentious. Ever since, was it Azerbaijan when the bombs were going off and they had to race and they were in that meeting until 3 a.m.? Like, yeah, well, I know they'd be getting beefy with those freaking.
The FIA was like, drivers are not allowed to leave when they want to. They're not allowed to act a certain way in the meetings. But it's giving, like, people on Twitter were like, the FIA is a fascist state. Like, they're dictators. Because what the hell do you mean you can't get mad in a meeting, bro? If I'm going to be mad, I'll be mad.
Social fascism. Like, let me walk out
of a meeting.
No, that's interesting. I guess, like, maybe he was really getting crunk in there, too. Because he's not the first person to walk out of a meeting, but he was probably annoying them in the meeting as well.
That's where the growth happens, Zaylee. that's where growth happens.
What could it be? This is a meeting before Austria or after Silverstone?
So this came out July 9th. Both,
but like July 9th. So wow, so 2 days ago. So it would have been right before the race.
Yeah.
I wonder if it had to do with track limits. He went off earlier in the weekend too.
And you know what's also interesting is in November 2021, Horner was also given a warning by the FIA for making a comment about a marshal in Qatar, like a rogue marshal. He called somebody a rogue marshal or whatever. But it's just like they're very policing of what the hell people can say, apparently. Yeah. This is giving cultish behavior, bro.
What I think is so cool about those meetings is that it's just the drivers. Like, my understanding is that it's pretty limited who can literally be in the room. And so, I mean, that they are even close enough to get to a place where someone is walking out. Like, I wish I was privy to those conversations.
That's
we
so
know
true.
From Twitter that there's like a group chat. People have like mapped out the different group chats and they know that like George Russell is an admin because apparently he removed someone else like at the start of some season.
Not George somebody being said a like mod in the freaking chat, bro. Okay.
It's like George Russell has removed Maya Lane from the group or whatever. Anyways, I love inter-driver relationships.
Me too, because you're right. There has to be a certain degree of comfort that you can have to storm out of a meeting. And also power. Like, I'm not going to just storm out of a meeting. I have to feel powerful to storm out of a meeting. Okay, one thing that I would love to circle back on from last week. We talked about this. Do you remember the finger-wagging moment that Leclerc had with Mattia Binotto?
Yeah.
Everyone was like, what did he say? Because everyone thought they were like, it was Mattia getting on his ass. But basically, Leclerc wanted to clarify that it actually was the opposite. And it was that Leclerc was really down and Mattia was like, you can't go out there looking sad, like, cheer up, buddy-o, like, everything's gonna be okay. Like, it was more of a pep talk than like a
you believe that?
Well, now
you question.
Well, you say that, and then I think about another headline I read. This wasn't even on my list, bro.
But
about someone asking Charles about like tension in the team dynamic. This was really recently, like in the last few days. And he was like, he's like, it really upsets me when I see that. I don't know why people would ever say that, because we all work together and we're all a family. You know, when they start saying family is toxic. But I kind of believe it. Like, look
families,
at the picture.
We fight. We have our own issues.
You think Mattia was like, you go out there.
You gotta watch the video, Maya. You gotta watch the video. No, but also because Ferrari is like this. Ferrari is literally like this. They fired a driver once back in the day for being, the driver said like, oh, driving a Ferrari is like driving a truck or something like that. And he was fired immediately. Like, that was drama. They used to say, somebody who used to work on the Ferrari team, like an old race engineer, was like, we used to be on those like plane rides, like going back. And they would be like reading the news headlines and like the Ferrari executives and like the people on the team. And he was like, don't we need to be talking about like the car? And they were just like reading the headlines and being like, damn, like they talk about us like this. They talk about us like that. Like, they really care about the way Ferrari is perceived.
Hmm.
Even not to bring up Drive to Survive, but do you remember in Drive to Survive, the PR press woman? You know who it is on Ferrari, the like woman.
Yes,
who
she has
always
brown
seems
hair,
stressed yeah. out. Yeah, she has brown hair. Yeah. She always seems stressed out and just like very concerned. Like, it's concerned, more concerned than even, I don't know.
Another team.
I'm very concerned with the way people perceive them. And there is a big culture of fear, which you don't believe me, but it is true. It's so true.
I
want to
hear more
Ferrari.
About it. I guess I haven't. Where did you see that? Reddit?
No, it's just like the way that it's people. Known. I listen to a lot of like F1 podcasts, I guess.
I mean, I guess they feel known. Like they have this huge reputation to protect and. What is it called? The stallion? What's that animal? It's a horse. Like, what is the animal called?
Yeah, it's a horse. It's a
They gotta protect the stallion to the death.
Ferrari the stallion.
Okay, one thing that we also should mention, which I feel like was unclear to me when I first read about it, what was going on at the stadium with the Dutch fans? Question mark. I kind of have a headline about it, but you noticed that too, right? Like, people were talking about
I just
how horrible.
Noticed that people were like, it's a completely unconscionable what happened.
So basically there was a bunch of the fans got really drunk apparently leading up to the race around the Red Bull around the Red Bull ring. They like camp out and it's kind of like a music festival, so people just get like absolutely shit-faced. And I think people were talking about like racist moments or homosexual, excuse me. People were talking about racist moments or homophobic moments. One person on Twitter said that she had a dress on and a group of 5 Dutch fans lifted up her dress. And when she confronted them, they said no Hamilton fan deserves any respect. So, but, yeah.
Wow.
And then Mercedes invited that Hamilton woman, that Hamilton fan, to the Mercedes garage to like take a tour.
Please harass me. Harass me. Race time. And what did you think of the race? Just like off the dome, like immediate reactions.
Off the dome, immediate reactions. I found this race fun. I was really into the... I kind of was into the fact that there were so many different levels of elevation. I know that's really random, but it was just kind of cool to watch the I'm just saying, it was cool to watch the cars like approach certain corners. Like Charles Leclerc was talking about corner 3, how that was difficult, and I was like, damn, yeah. I kind of see what you mean by that, broski. But I found it fun, and I was really happy with the outcome of this race because we both watched it. Charles won.
Hamilton's on the podium.
Hamilton's on podium, but I just was happy to see that. And what about you? What were your big impressions?
Big impressions off the dome. I loved the drama of people going off this race.
Oh my God.
Because I feel like we've seen a lot of reliability or whatever, but just the spinning off into the gravel and the jeopardy of like not even being able to come back. Someone got so much damage. Perez got so much damage he couldn't come back. And I was like, oh, like these gravel traps are like harsher.
Why do you think the stewards were so intent on penalizing people for going off track? And why do you think people went off track so often?
I assume this is just like literally such a stupid like assumption. I don't know, but I assume that it's because the racetrack would otherwise be boring. It's such a short track.
Mm-hmm.
And I assume that like race drivers can go at it extremely fast. And so, like, it's like, I was telling Maya when I was watching the race, I was like, am I watching the wrong, like, broadcast? I thought it was like the race in 30, like a cut down version of the race. Cause it was just like the laps were racking up mad quick. I'm like, oh, it's been 12 laps already of this. Like, yeah. So maybe they try to slow them down and, like, keep them within a certain line for sure here because it's just so short and there's only so many corners. I think there was only, like, 10 corners, which feels very small. And so, but I don't know. Just to add a level of, what do you think? I don't know.
I think that's a good hypothesis that because the track is so short, and there are not that many opportunities to overtake, maybe they're just trying to make sure that there's, like, some...
Something to get, like, something to get excited.
I mean, there were moments exactly because there were moments during this race where there were people, like, a few, like, maybe like one or two, where there was like four wide, and that was really exciting because we were like, wow, like, these four cars are, like, and that was happening in the midfield, and that was, like, cool to see. But immediately they were like, meh, 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 black and white flag. So I was like, okay, I guess they're being serious about it. But yeah, I think they're trying to make it harder, maybe.
Yeah, it with 10 corners for these people who there will be there, I feel like there's up to like 20-23 corners. I don't know, I'm just like guessing here, but 10 feels very low. And I feel like for drivers who are very used to 10, like, it's like a video game and they'll just start going faster and faster and faster because they're just like, they're like doing it in their sleep. Like, 10 is not enough for them. So to, like, manage that sort of, like, just they're starting to get into, like, a flow state, they're not really paying it, like, you want to slow them down, basically.
To your point, Zelia, that's really interesting because the track is, like, manageable, maybe we're saying, at the end, at the post-race conference, someone, I think Naomi Shift, asked Charles, they were like, did you assume that you would get, like, do that much better during the race than you did during qualifying? And he's like, well, I just, like, spent some time in, like, the simulator, or, like, he was like, I practiced last night. So I say, like, the fact that he was able to, like, sort of practice and, like, improve that much during the race maybe does point to the fact that the track itself is not, like, the most vigorous or, you know, difficult.
No, it's not Monaco. Like,
yeah, it's not a Monaco, it's not an Abu Dhabi.
So just, like, to start us off in this race, two things that I, like, kind of took note of: Bottas started from the back because of an engine penalty.
Yeah.
Max started on pole, as expected. As expected. Lap one, Perez in the gravel. That was just a crazy... I was like, whoa. And pushed out by George Russell.
Yeah, man. And he was, like, holding on to that. He was like, I don't know why. I know he saw me. I know I was ahead of him. I know. Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. Which.
But George did get a 5-second penalty for that. Did he not?
Uh-huh. Yeah, he did. He got a 5-second penalty. And Perez, there was, like, this moment where we thought maybe he would be able to come back, but I guess he got too many rocks in his floor and he was out of the Grand Prix.
But I was kind of impressed. I thought he would end up further in the back than he did. So I actually was kind of surprised. Absolutely. And same with George. Like, George with that 5 seconds, I thought he would end up way further down than he did. I don't remember where exactly they have ended up.
But Perez is out of the Grand Prix. At the beginning, Ricardo got ahead of Norris, which was kind of exciting.
Oh,
Norris,
yeah.
Like, completely mollywopped Ricardo for, like, the rest of the race.
Did Ricardo, like, have a message about, like, I'm faster than him?
He said that in qualifying.
Okay.
And that kind of, he just tried to start the drama again in qualifying of, like, oh, like, I'm faster than him, like, blah, 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 blah. I'm like, shut up, Ricardo. Like, shut up. It's too little too late. Like, I'm kind of over his... like, trying to resurge in F1 because I'm just, like, I feel like it would almost do him better if he was continued to be bad than it is to, like, now be under pressure for his seat and all of a sudden show that he can do better, because I think that the rest of these drivers are applying themselves, like, even on their worst days, and I feel like Ricardo doesn't, low-key.
That's really interesting.
I feel bad to say it, but whatever. Max, the next thing I wrote down was that Max was complaining about the front end of this car. And maybe we can just talk about this after. Maybe I should just say it now. But, like, I was kind of just interested by that because remember in Silverstone, he rolled over a piece of carbon and it affected his floor and everything was off. I'm like, is it possible that within these 7 days, the team just wasn't able to fix it? Because now we know there are 80,000 components to an F1 car. Like, is he having, is it residue of the same issue that he had last week? That was just something that I thought. Because it was the same complaints and, like, I don't know. I thought it was interesting. It made me think, like, whoa, can they carry over the same damage over, like, multiple weeks?
I think so. And I think they're also at times strategic about what it is they replace and when. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, they might replace a certain part of the car when they know, like, a big race is coming up or something that is going to be more challenging to the car. One thing that I wanted to just add was that in the beginning of the race is when we start to see Mick and Lewis sort of going back and forth. Oh, and Lewis is like, Lewis says, man, their straight line speed is crazy about a Haas, which I listened to that and I was like, bro, if you think about what's happened with Haas, bro, this is a Cinderella story, bro. The fact that they're even like competing and, you know, Mick is defending so well from Lewis in the back. I was like, this, not in the back, but we didn't know wherever they were, was really crazy.
Yeah, super proud of Mick this race. He's definitely come up multiple times in these notes, but Mick is the man. Mick the man.
He's the man.
Mick the man. Mick the man. He was fired this week. It's so kooky to see, too. Do you remember when he was holding back Max? Let me not get out of
Yes.
way, like, I was like, what? Mick, what are we doing right now? Like, what are we doing? But okay, so another thing that came up, Carlos and Leclerc had a little moment of like fighting and slowing them both down. And I feel like they got lucky in that Max had his issues up front. And so that's why the two teams were coming closer together on the track. But I was low-key like, wow, okay, Ferrari letting them fight. Like, they're having a little tussle right now.
Ferrari team strategy, I think, was under the microscope this race. I think ever since Monaco, I feel like people are like, and what are y'all gonna do? Because half the time, it doesn't make sense. And I feel like
y'all gonna do about it? Ever since Monaco, every single race, these people don't know what to do.
Race. And it's so interesting because I think there's a scenario in which, and they kind of did this more towards the end of the race, I would say, but like there's a scenario in which they're like, they're working strategically to like hold up Max and to make sure that the two of them end up in the front. But yes, they had a little tussle, but I wonder if someone on the radio was like, okay, enough of that, because in the end it kind of worked out, but maybe it only worked out because of Red Bull's boo-boos.
I think so. But okay, so then we get to hammer time. I love this moment where Hamilton overtook both Haases within like 2 minutes. He was up into fourth, but he hadn't pit yet. But I was still like, oh, hammer time. Ew. Max has a really slow stop. And he stops early. And I don't know if they were trying to fix. I don't know if they were, like, feeling under him and being like, oh, is something broken under there? Like, I think they were trying to do that at two at the same time. But then so he has this early slow stop and he's left out there. And then he's fighting with Mick. And Mick, you know, does a little defending. He got past. But I was just like, oh, my God, this is a moment where he's not a back marker. Like, finally, Mick and Max interacting where they're actually together on the track, you know?
Loved. It was giving. I love to see it. That's why he was driver of the day. I feel like he did really deserve it. And I think it's a good example of someone like, it's cool to see what someone can do when they're put in a car that's like just more competitive. Cause like otherwise his ass would be in the back. He could eat a whole sandwich while driving cause people would have laughed him 17 times.
And when they're given time to grow, yes. I've heard a lot of people complain that like, these cars, whereas you basically used to drive from the seat of your pants and like feel in your butt the different things that were happening, these cars are very much like hand-eye coordination. And it doesn't really, if you can feel something in your butt, it might be telling you the wrong thing because they're so like computer generated. And so I think that like what used to be true about like the most talented drivers are just going to drive fast immediately might not be true of the new generation of drivers and like what we see in F1 in the future. All that to say, I'm glad they give Mick some time to grow, because like we've seen what happened to Gasly where he got kicked out super quick, and like that doesn't necessarily mean that he's like a worse or a better bad, driver. Yeah. He's putting in great performances now. There is a great, I'm calling it this midfield battle, but there's something that happened towards the middle of the race where like the midfield was just starting to do something different. Shift. And it wasn't quite the midfield, but it was like AlphaTauri and the Alpines and the Haases having a great freaking fight. But then we see the first 5 second penalty come in for track limits with Gasly. I think this is the first penalty for track limits during a race of the season. I wrote that down. I think. But like, have we seen this yet? Checkered flag having to do with, I mean, we've seen weaving twice now. They've been like, stop weaving. You're so New York for that. Weave.
What is that? I don't even know where that's from, bro. It's just like weave. Like I say it, bro. So funny. What is
I don't
that?
Know what that's from, but I knew immediately like you were talking about like this weave.
Yeah.
Like you were not talking about hair. You were talking about like weave. Bob and weave. Yeah. He came at me this way, weave.
He came at
every
me this
time,
way.
Every time I hear weave, like the weaving on the track, that's what I would think of.
It's probably from some like viral video. I kind of think it was some from some video like in high school that we watched of like someone telling a story about a fight, and someone was like, and I said weave, and like that was it. Like it's so funny.
In 2 ways, 5 second penalty for track limits. Very rare. We can have a conversation about track limits. What do you think?
I am interested as to what rules the stewards care about most and why and when. Like, I just don't know why. Yeah. Like, it felt very... We made a TikTok about this, if you guys follow us on TikTok.
Yeah.
But, like, people were like, oh, my God, yes, because it felt so marked how many people were getting penalties. And sometimes yeah. it feels like the stewards are sleeping, and sometimes it feels like they're not. And that's my thought.
The stewards changed every race this season.
Really?
To, like, yeah, for parity after 2021. This is, like, one of the new things they've instituted, like, rotating stewards. So I kind of like it because I feel like it's like taking a test. Like you never know. You know how you used to have teachers who would like sometimes they wouldn't check your homework and sometimes they would. And that's fine because
you just do it every time.
Because yeah, exactly. And I think that this is cool. Like maybe you don't know if they're going to be the track limit crazy people, but like now they have to keep it in mind.
If you were a steward, what would be the rule you cared about most?
I actually don't think that track limits is a bad hill to die on because at some point you've got to stay on the track. And I do agree that like if we're not policing the literal where the track is, then like things chaos. Can't get out of hand. They are all complaining, but like the reality is there has to be a line. I think though that like there should be sensors. I am shocked that they're literally using cameras and zooming in to be like, has the car left the line? Like they have all this technology and they can't just put like a strip under there that shows you when a car has like pressed on it. I don't know. So that's something I'm shocked by. I'm shocked that a person has to police
that
and
job.
Not like a tech yeah some technology. But I don't think the what would be what's the hill you're dying on as a
I'm so glad you asked. I have so many. You know, I gotta say, and this is corny of me, but I think about a lot of Abu Dhabi influenced things when I think about what I would want to police. And like one of them has been changed. One of the rules has been changed since then, which is about like when there's a safety car restart, just being able to like be behind somebody. I think like the distances between cars is something that's like really important because I think otherwise people can skirt the lines and sort of like,
yeah.
put pressure on the driver
You're
ahead of
so
them in a
right.
way that's not fair.
Yeah. That was a ridiculous rule. Like, and I think only Max, or there's like one or two drivers who were doing it, who were just like pushing it. And I'm glad they just nipped that in the bud. Like, don't do that anymore. Everybody behind each other.
Right.
That's like a really good point. So now you have to choose another one because they already fixed that.
My other rule is definitely you can't wear jewelry in the car.
Fireproof underwear.
No
I want to see
jewelry.
Everybody's. Yeah.
And everybody has to hang, like, one of those, like, scent, you know, the scent trees that you get from, like, what are those called?
You know air fresheners, bro.
Yes. Every car needs an air freshener.
Every car needs an air freshener.
I want to see fuzzy dice.
Every car probably does need an air freshener. I know these cars be stank. Max puts on a second set of hards. And I thought this was interesting. The commentators were like, all right, I guess they're giving up on the race. So I guess Red Bull knew that, like, this is what they said that because they were just like, he wouldn't put on a second set of hards if he wasn't. And he was saying he was struggling for grip. So I guess Red Bull was like, you know what? Let's just, like, count our loss. Like, I think they knew, like you said, when I was talking about, was he carrying on damage? And maybe they were being strategic about what they fixed. Like, maybe they knew that collecting, like, even being a, collecting points today was a good thing and they were just like, all right, put him on hearts.
Yeah,
because he could have gone into mediums. Yeah,
it's around this point of the race that I noticed that the drone shots have improved. That's it. It's like not
probably
so bad
because
today.
Of your complaints. I think someone in F1 is listening to this for sure. There have been multiple things that have been like clarified after this podcast.
So true.
That are kind of related to this podcast, including but not limited to the comment that Mattia Binotto, like the finger wagging at Charlotte Claire last week. I think that clarification was put out because of us.
I think we're right on the nose. We are yeah. on the nose. Finger to the pulse.
Yeah. Gasly pushes Vettel off into the gravel. Those are two people I don't think I've seen beef before.
Yeah.
Pretty rough. Pretty rough. I think Vettel was right that Gasly was in the wrong.
I think so too.
Didn't he get a penalty for that? No, he got a penalty for track limits.
Oh, okay.
And Maya wasn't on this pod. This was like the one we had a guest named Kiara. But one of the things I was talking about with Kiara was like, I think that sometimes the stewards don't want to over penalize. And mm-hmm. so if they see that someone's already got a penalty, they'll just be like, all right, like he's been penalized enough. But I do think he would have gotten a penalty if he hadn't already received a 5-second one for the track limits. Mm. And then the Ferraris pit again because they're on like this 2-stop strategy, which is pretty cool because they've got like room to play with.
Yeah.
And so they come out behind Verstappen and they'll have to overtake him. But like Verstappen's he's not even that good this race. Like he was kind
of. No.
Latifi retires. They didn't even show that. It was just like, Latifi retires. This man has 0 points. The only driver this season to have 0 points.
And you know the rumors about him leaving, right? Are those real?
They have to be. They have to be. Bad. How are you going to have 0 points in the whole season? Now everyone has gotten one except for you.
You know what's so interesting? Sidebar is we both watched this Hamilton interview with somebody from Channel 4. I don't even know these British channels, but whatever. From someone from Channel 4 and... The interviewer asked him about whether or not he wanted to, like, have his child in racing. And Hamilton was like, oh, my God, no. Because he's like, once you have, like, the kids of drivers, then there's, like, all of this pressure. And, like, it kind of seemed like he was kind of shitting on nepotism babies in driving or, like, pay drivers. And mm-hmm. Latifi's performance this weekend was just making me think about that. Just about, like, the dynamic of having, like, a billionaire dad who, like, can pay your way through the sport. I mean, that's a little different from what Hamilton was saying, but still, like, related to, like... I don't know. I just thought that was funny.
It's complicated. I feel bad for him. But he low-key shouldn't be in the sport. He low-key shouldn't be in the sport. Yeah. Hamilton, though, was saying, like, oh, but I would have my child. Like, best believe that child's getting abused. It's just not going to be F1. It's going to be tennis or
Serena,
something.
Serena, yeah. He was like, Serena yeah, can teach my son tennis.
Yeah. I'm thinking of that TikTok that you made where you're like, oh, you're Mr. Fighter now.
But Mr. Fighter.
Russell overtakes Alonso up into fourth. He was doing amazing, like literally doing so well. He took a really cool opportunity too when like two drivers were ahead and he got in front of two drivers like mm-hmm. almost at once, which was really cool. Lap 58, boom, Sainz is out. Boom. It's like, what the hell? And he was literally, it was going to be a Ferrari one too. Randomly, out of nowhere. And it was a huge, like, fire. Like, crash and burn. That man could have got hurt. Like,
it was actually, like, getting dangerous. And I was watching the stewards, like, I saw a steward approach and then like, put down the fire extinguisher and, like, turn back. And, like, meanwhile, the car is, like, actually becoming encroached in fire.
I think dangerous. The issue was that the car was, like, still rolling back.
Yeah.
And so the guy was, like, trying to put down these little things, which I didn't even know they had those, but, like, things to hold, like, stop the wheels from rolling.
Yeah.
So he was, like, trying to decide, do I run around and put another one under it so that the car will stay still so that he can get out? Or do I... Life-saving measure. He literally could have died in that moment.
He could have,
meanwhile, Carlos... I could tell Carlos was just upset about...
I know. He wasn't caring, thinking about that.
Yeah, he wasn't thinking about the fire because I guess they're used to it. They were
but
just,
the
was
fire
just like,
almost touched his body. Like, it was encroaching half of the car. It was kind of scary. And I don't even know how they don't... Like, how do you trust the car is not going to blow up? Like, I would just be so panicked in that moment. You know what I mean?
I don't know. I guess their fire suits, like, protect them from even feeling that much heat.
Maybe.
Because you're completely right that, like, you observed that, too. He wasn't that worried about the fire. He was more, mm-hmm. like, annoyed that his car had crashed. Yeah. Here we go. But meanwhile, it was an exciting race, though, because it was just like, all right, moving on.
Did you see him sitting in the grass afterwards just looking off into the distance? I will
holding
be
his knees. Yeah. The Look, fact that man. They do that too in front of like thousands of people is kind of funny because they're so in their own world to me. Like, I don't think it's a performance. I think they're kind of like, people will be like, and they're just like waiting for the marshal to come. Like, They do not care.
Like, I want to get on this motorcycle and ride.
So at this point, Verstappen is just behind Leclerc. And so it's like, oh, is Verstappen going to win? Is Verstappen going to, like, be able to take it back? But realistically, Verstappen was, like, 2 seconds behind mm-hmm. him. And these laps were, like, so mm-hmm. quick. Nobody had time to do anything. But there was, like, a little bit of jeopardy because Verstappen, I mean, Leclerc started to have questions about his throttle pedal.
Oh, my God.
That part, I was like,
So many good memes about that. There was some meme that was, like, I can't really explain it, but it's like, I don't fear anything, but I do fear. And it was like a picture of like team radio sign from Charles, because you just don't know what he's about to say. It's like when that pops up, I'm like, yo, like, please, bro, don't say something crazy.
I felt like, is there a language barrier? Why are they speaking in English? Like, I was hearing the Italian guy talk. Leclerc was like, I don't understand. The throttle pedal's not working. And then the Italian guy got on and said something in such an Italian thick accent. He was just like, you know, explaining the situation, didn't get it at all. And I feel like Leclerc didn't get it too, because he literally got back on the radio and was like, I don't understand. Like, I feel like, so, like, is there a rule where they have to speak English? Because clearly the Italian guy and Leclerc both speak Italian. So, like, why explain something incredibly complex? He was like, something about, like, it's under your foot, and so, like, it's picking up da-da-da-da. Like, he was trying to literally give him instructions, but the accent was just so crazy. I feel like Leclerc was like, I don't understand.
Other people have to be able to understand the team radio. That's probably it, right? Because they have people listening in. Because, like, someone will say something and then a different team will be like, did you hear what they said? They said that Leclerc is having problems with the throttle. But, like, if they said that in Italian, right?
I guess you're right. Like, maybe. No, but I think that just is, like, spying. I think that's kind of, like, an accepted part of the sport, but it's kind of, like,
it's not that they have to legally be able to understand the radio.
Right. I don't think they have. Because they'll be like a plan E.
I know. That was
they'll
so
like
funny.
They'll like say secret things over the radio. So maybe it's just a tradition that everyone's speaking in English. I don't know. But part of me is like, some of y'all Ferrari people just need to speak in Italian because you're not communicating well. And he was also telling him too much information. I'm like,
yeah,
tell
they
him
were
how
talking.
To fix it. Yeah, going very much back and forth. But yeah, Leclerc holds everything together. He wins the race. Max is like 2 seconds behind. Lewis is 40 seconds behind. Did you peep that? Lewis was 40 seconds behind Leclerc.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. That was just crazy to me. Russell behind him. Ocon behind him. Schumacher in sixth.
Yes,
woo!
My man.
Let's go. Then Lando, Kevin, Ricardo. Mm-hmm. But really great drive from Alonso. Always great drive from Alonso, but great drive from Alonso to be in. He started in 20th or like 19th.
Yeah.
And ended up in 10th, which is just like, he's fighting. He's fighting for his life out there. And he had his little finger wag.
I didn't see the one that happened, to be fair. I only saw the.
They played it on the international version, bro, because they be liking the memes. Like, they be keying in that fucking booth. Maybe like, wait, go back.
Oh, okay, that's funny. Okay, I need to watch that
like,
one.
We about to show you something that happened a couple laps ago. Like, they be going through. But I wrote down plan E because I thought that was funny. I thought it was clear that Ferrari didn't think they were going to win today.
Yeah.
And the fact that they were all the way at ABC, they had went through, like, all the, obviously the top plans involved losing. And, like, the fact that they were in the front was like, ooh, okay, we're going plan E.
Yeah.
But I was also like, this is just evidence. My favorite radios are evidence of something else. And this is just evidence that this team, like, you don't hear anybody else in the radio talking about plan M. Are we on plan M1, MA, MB, MC? Like, no one should be at plan E. No driver should have to go into the race memorizing 8 plans or A, B, C, D, E.
Yeah,
okay, 5 plans. But there probably is an F and a G. Like, come on. It's Ferrari. And I just feel like they don't have it together communication-wise. Like, there has to be a better way of... I never hear Mercedes talking about a plan, which maybe is a bad thing.
No,
like,
I don't.
I never hear Mercedes... They just kind of know what to do at certain places.
I don't have a quote, I guess.
That's okay. You say quotables every day, Maya. Okay. Every day.
Weave.
We're playing Mary Kill. Let's just get into it. First question for you, Maya. Mercedes floor, Ferrari engine, or Max's race engineers? Mary Kill, go.
I'm going to kill the Mercedes floor, obviously, because it's not like
wow,
giving the way you should give. The porpoising might just take me out. I don't have a bad back, but I don't want one. So I'm going to kill the Mercedes floor.
Wow. Okay.
I'm going to f*** the Max's race engineers because I feel like they might be able to, like, they're a little rough. They're rough around the edges. You know what I'm saying?
So no,
like,
they are rough. No, they're
direct. They're quite direct. Yes. And I think in any romantic situation, directness wins.
Yes.
And then I'm going to marry the Ferrari engine because you know what? Like, we can go somewhere with it. Like, it doesn't, it's not the most reliable. We have issues. Sometimes it gives out, but like, we can work on it. I think there's something to be saved.
No. I cannot have that type of unreliability, unpredictability. No.
Okay. Query kill the Mercedes engine, Ferrari team strategy, and podium celebrations.
I'm killing Ferrari team strategy. I don't know why it took so long to say that. I can eliminate right here, right now, what's Same. Least useful. Although I will say the podium celebrations are quite useless. So maybe of what's more useless, Ferrari team strategy or podium celebration?
Okay, I have to be honest. I'm with you on the Ferrari team strategy fucking killing that. But for me, I'm marrying podium celebration. I think about this all the time. I want someone to spray champagne over me because I win something. I want a medal. I want that moment in my life where confetti falls from the sky and people are like, you did it. And I'm like, yes. That's what I want. And so if I could have a life full of podium moments, like,
yeah. Mwah. It does make life simple in that, like, you've won.
You've won. But don't you have do you have a winning moment? You know what I'm saying? You're like, well, you know you've won and everyone's like standing ovation.
I just don't think I crave that maybe in the same way. I don't know.
My God, I want it so bad.
But I guess I like the climb. I would be satisfied without the podium, I think. Yeah. If without the podium celebration, I would feel accomplished. If I won the Drivers' World Championship and there was no celebration, I think I would still feel like, okay. Like, I think I would kind of stand up there, like, and be like, okay, like, it goes on for quite a while.
Yeah,
and I wouldn't know what to do with my face, and I always feel bad for them when the cameras are on them and blah, blah, blah. Sure. So, and then the awkwardness of, like, your teammate isn't up there, so who do you spray champagne on? And, like, that is so awkward, just, like, one person being lost up there with no friends. My God, it makes me, yeah, I hate that.
And so what are you doing with the Mercedes engine? You're marrying it?
I think I'm going to marry the Mercedes engine, kill the podium celebration, and f*** the team strategy. It's confusing, but also these things aren't very sensual, so I'm not even really sure what, like,
it's lint
filtered.
It's more of a metaphor. It's more of a metaphor.
That metaphor is going to keep me up tonight, because I can't begin to unpack this metaphor of team strategy. F*** Mary Kill, cool down room, riding the track marshal motorcycle after you've crashed, and the driver's parade.
I'm killing the riding the track mark. I mean, there's a part of me that wants the experience.
Kill the driver's parade. That is so weird. No.
Yeah, I don't care for the driver's parade. No, it doesn't matter to me. No.
And then
I just
you
don't.
The cool down room.
Cool down room is cool. It's also like another aspect of winning that you want. It's like the champion's room, but it can be like boring or like awkward. Mm-hmm. So that's why I wouldn't marry the cool down room ever.
Oh, okay.
Personally.
Okay. Mary Kill, the champagne GoPro, the cam that's on the champagne bottle, or the national anthem. We've never heard the American national anthem in F1, and the American national anthem is actually fire. Now that I've heard all the other ones, I'm like, the American one is actually kind of good.
The other one sounded a lot like play music to me. It sounds like kind of a musical. It's much more, yeah, kind of. I can't explain it, but it sounds like it's from Hamilton or something. I'm killing the national anthem. I have no connection, no interest.
I think that's the most shoey, bro. The shoey has like become completely like, I don't know, capitalism did a weird thing to it where it's like, I feel bad for Daniel. It's like Wakanda forever. Like, he probably doing that until the day he dies. Like, do a shoey.
I know.
He's just like, gotta take
and it's
shoey.
Actually Australian culture, so shoeys are Australian culture. I'm gonna shoey. I would do a shoey. If I won something on a podium, I would do a shoey for sure. Would you?
No, it would make me feel too much like a monkey. Not if people were chanting shoey, shoey. I feel like if somebody, like if I was with Daniel Ricciardo, maybe I would do a shoey is my answer to that.
Maybe.
But I'm killing it in this round.
Oh, so what are you marrying?
I guess I'm the champagne GoPro because.
And you're marrying the national anthem?
Yeah, I'm marrying the national anthem. What can I say? I'm America's sweetheart. The champagne GoPro is giving sexy for some reason. It's like,
I'm actually with you on that.
Yeah.
I don't want to marry a shoey. So I'm going to stick, I'm going to f*** the shoey and marry the GoPro. Even though I think the GoPro is okay. Not someone you, you can't turn a GoPro into a housewife. But we'll, yeah, we'll try.
On that note, wonderful episode of Wheel to Wheel.
This has been the greatest. Where are we? Oh, Austrian Grand Prix of all time. We're heading into summer break. Maybe I'll visit Zaylee in LA in the next few weeks. Maybe not.
Oh, yeah. And then we might record in a podcast studio.
That'd be crazy.
All right. Bye.
Bye.